Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Welcome to New Life. I am Jim Burns. I'm filling in for Steve Artimer today, and we have the wonderful, illustrious Dr. Jill Hubbard in the house.
Hello.
Hello, hello. It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
And J.J. West, all the way from Florida. We're here in California, and J.J., you're in Florida.
It's a 3J day.
We're covering both sunshine states.
Absolutely. You know? Well, great to have you as well. And I want to get right into it. You know, JJ, you lead many of the Every Man's Battle intensives, and we'd love to have you kind of talk about that a little bit as we begin this segment.
Yeah, you know, it's so exciting. It's such a pleasure for me to lead those events and to talk about the Every Man's Battle intensive. We just had one in Dallas. Beginning of this month, and we're getting ready in April to have our online event. And, you know, the online event is really unique in that it helps to break down some of the barriers that some men might have to going to the Every Man's Battle workshop. First, it's less money, right? So if the cost is a factor, it's a cheaper way to go to the intensive. Second is it's shorter. It's only one day. It's a long day, all day long on a Saturday, but it's one day as opposed to 3 days. And so if time is an issue for you, it's an easier way to attend the workshop. But then third is because it's online, you don't have to deal with traveling to and from, and you don't have to deal with having to share a hotel room with a stranger, all of that. And so I think it particularly opens the door up to some of our younger audience.
Some of the younger men.
Yeah, because, you know, I've heard of conversations where a mom wants her son, maybe he's 18 years old, but he's still living at home, wants her son to attend, but doesn't feel comfortable with him being in a hotel room with, you know, a 40-year-old, 50-year-old man that she doesn't know, which understandable, right? And so here's an opportunity for him to attend in a way that is more accessible, maybe less of the risks might be involved. But specifically, I think that if you are a parent or a grandparent of a young man who you know has had some struggles in this area, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's a member of your church, and you know that they would benefit, I would encourage you to talk to them about the intensive, the online intensive. Find out if there's any objection to them going, if there's any barrier, I should say, to them going. Help them overcome that barrier. Maybe you're in a financial position to help pay for their registration. Maybe you're in a position to help them get over the shame hurdle that might be there. And I can tell you because I've been leading this intensive now for 2.5 years. I can tell you that once they arrive, whether in person or online, they will encounter a no-shame zone. They will encounter a safe place to look at this issue and find freedom for the first time, maybe for many of them.
That's amazing. You know, I had a person that actually my wife and I sent to an Every Man's Battle. He was a pastor. And he said it was the life-changing moment. He made a commitment to Christ, he said, and then the second most important decision, and he didn't want to go. But he went, his life was transformed, and you know what? His marriage is back together. He had to go through a lot of stuff, but he was so grateful for it. So it really is life transforming, isn't it?
Yeah. It's you know, we hear those stories every single weekend, Jim. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
there's really nothing like it.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love the life transformation that takes place at all of the intensives, but the Every Man's Battle is something that it can change the trajectory not only of a person's life, but of their family's life. And if they don't do that, boy, there can be big trauma and big trouble. And, you know, we get calls most every day with someone who's addicted to pornography, and what they need to do is come clear. And yet, again, the shame and the struggle is so key. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back. Love our listeners here on New Life and are so grateful for you. And when we come back, we'll take a call.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. I have some friends who are literally adrenaline junkies. It's a drug they need to survive. they mountain bike, bungee jump, heli-ski, hang glide, surf giant waves, and parachute out of airplanes. I often wonder why they feel the need to risk their lives in the ways they do. Maybe they do these things as medication against depression and anxiety, or maybe it's a way of proving that the inevitable isn't going to overtake them. We can jump out of airplanes to prove that we're not dead yet, but there's still no avoiding the fact that you're getting older, and with that comes limitations. Aging does that to everyone. You can see that as a death sentence, or a better way to look at it is it's the beginning of a new phase or season of life. I'm Stephen Arterburn. Are you wasting your life? Want to know how to live with purpose? Well, visit us at newlife.com. And thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Today with Dr. Jill Hubbard and J.J. West.
Yes, I was just going to say, I love those moments.
I do,
Steve.
Too. You know, Steve is so good at that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been a friend of his for a long time, and he has such wisdom. Yeah. I don't always tell him that, but he's a character, too. You know, he's just a wonderful human being who has great insight. And again, we see these on these one minute moments.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go to Mary. And Mary, how can we help you today? Hi, Mary.
Yes.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can. There you are.
I have a 15-year-old granddaughter that's cutting herself and is not sleeping that well at night. She doesn't live with me right now.
Does she live near you, Mary?
Yes, I pick her up and bring her to school every day.
Oh, good. So you have car time, the coveted car time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, and so you're aware that she's cutting. Does she share this with you?
No, I saw it all over her.
Okay.
She used to hide it. She used to hide it, and I saw it, and I couldn't believe how bad it was. I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm. Okay. And were you able to say anything to her about it?
I said something to her. I told her, I said, honey, what are you thinking? And she didn't answer me. And I said, well, I said, when you feel down and whatnot, I said, can you call me? Let me know how to pray for you. Or I said, don't even write that. Don't even text that. Just write Nana in a question mark, and I'll be praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of all I said.
Well, and I think that's a good thing to say. When you see the cutting, and good that, you know, you acknowledged it, right, instead of just ignoring it or tiptoeing around it, because when someone is doing that, they are in a lot of pain, right? Mm-hmm. They're either trying to feel something because they are numb, right, or they're trying to displace their pain into a physical pain. Mm-hmm. So their emotional, psychological pain, right? And so you don't want to hyper-focus on the actual cutting, right? You want to acknowledge it.
Right.
But then you want to say, let's talk about what's going on in your life, right? Yeah. Because I don't want you to feel alone in your pain. We all struggle and suffer. But the important thing is to not be alone with it. And I'm happy to just listen. Right? You might not think that Nana understands, but I'm a really good listener, and we could at least bring it out in the open together.
Yeah.
Right? So taking it a step further and acknowledging that. Now, her mother, is that your daughter?
Yes.
Okay. Have you and she talked about it?
Oh, yes, many times. Okay. Yeah, her mother has some issues herself with PTSD and a lot of bad stuff.
Okay.
Going on in her life.
Okay. Does she have the capacity to help contain her daughter?
What do you mean?
Emotionally?
No, I don't think so.
To be there. Okay. So that's probably part of the problem.
I don't think so.
Is that your granddaughter does feel alone. But what an awesome opportunity you have with being with her every day and taking her to school. And I'm wondering, is there ways for maybe you and she to spend more time together? Right? If she goes home and feels very alone, maybe she could hang out with Nana a little bit more. Hey, let's instead of going straight home, let's go do something.
Yep. She says she'll do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. JJ?
Yeah. Yeah. So Mary is the, you mentioned that mom has PTSD and a bunch of other stuff going on. I'm assuming that the other stuff that's going on in mom's life is contributing to the unsafe feeling that your granddaughter is feeling, which may be one of the reasons why she's cutting. Is that, does that sound accurate to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Is mom and or your granddaughter, would they be open to granddaughter coming and staying with you for a little while mom tries to sort out some of the things that are happening in her world, or would that feel like a threat?
We're trying to make that happen. She left.
Okay.
She left because mother was too disciplinarian and put her hands on her too many times, and so okay. Granddaughter.
So mom's very okay. reactive.
Ran away.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Said she'll never
okay.
do it again.
Gotcha.
Said she'll never do it again. We'll do anything to keep her home. Come back home.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's, you know, the way you would want to talk about it as a family is, this is not punishment for mom. This is not, you did something wrong as a mom. You didn't. You know, you were too disciplinarian, you were too chaotic, you were whatever, and so we're going to, you know, make your daughter live somewhere else, that you would want to talk about it in terms of giving mom some space to work on the things that she needs to work on so that she can then be a healthier mom to her daughter, right?
Yeah.
And creating that safe space for the granddaughter so that she's not having to deal with, you know, life as a 15-year-old, she's not having to deal with school, all of that on top of dealing with the unsafe factor of living at home right now, emotionally unsafe or physically unsafe. So it wouldn't be you wouldn't want to present it as this is punishment, you were a bad mom. This is a safety valve for you to be able to have the space and the time to work on the issues that are inhibiting you from being the best mom you can be.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Kind of like a time out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Giving each other space and because they're both reacting to each other. And when two people are highly reactive, right, good things do not happen. Mm-hmm. So right. when you can have a little distance, you can reflect more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good input. Yeah. You know, Mary, I would also I'm going to give you the Nana Award of the day because I think you're an amazing grandmother who cares deeply for your granddaughter. And I have a feeling that her healing is going to possibly come through your care and love. I'm going to take it one step farther and say I was a youth pastor in my other life when I was younger. And whenever kids were cutting, usually they were really neat kids and they didn't know how to deal with their pain. And I would say your granddaughter needs an assessment by a counselor. And you can take her, and you're probably the safer one to do that because, you know, all of what they said is exactly right, but now take it to the next level and say, hey, you know what, honey, why don't we meet with somebody and let's talk about this? Because I appreciate you recognize the pain, because sometimes people say, well, I can see that my grandkids or my kids are cutting and they don't say anything and they just make it a secret. It's kind of that elephant in the room. You didn't do that. You brought it up. And I love how you just said you can put Nana in a question mark. But I think you take it a step farther. And, you know, if you'll hold on to the line, we can help you with that. If you need a counselor, we can help you find a counselor in your area who could actually who specializes in this and who specializes with working with a teenager. 15 is not easy to just live life. But I'm going to suggest that you also take it that way. And we're going to send you Mylan and Kay Yurkovich's book, How We Love Our Kids. I'm going to suggest you read it and then hand it to your daughter. You got a lot of things going on, but let's focus on that cutting. You don't want it to get too far down the road, because it can do some huge damage, but it is, she's crying out, I have pain.
Right. And I really like that idea. Yeah. I think, yes, definitely finding her someone outside of the family,
exactly.
a therapist to
yeah.
talk to.
Yeah.
And just to speak a little bit to the granddaughter saying mom's too much of a disciplinarian, mm-hmm. right? It's probably that she's either all or nothing, yeah. very inconsistent because of her own mom's own PTSD
yeah.
issues,
yeah.
right? So it's not that coming to Nana's, there's no discipline.
No.
Right? It's
no.
just that it's more consistent.
Right.
And she knows what she can
yeah.
count
and
on.
And needs some structure. Loving,
right. yeah.
loving structure.
Yeah,
and she's
firm
not,
but loving.
She's not getting that at home.
Yeah.
So Mary, hold on to the yeah. line and our caller, our phone person will get right to you and we'll talk through that, okay? Thanks for calling, Mary, so much.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Grace all the way from Palmer, Alaska. Grace, welcome to New Life Live, and what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. My question is, how do you know when a relationship is just unhealthy or when does it go to being abusive? There's been a couple times, I'm going on my third year of marriage, a couple times where my husband will say or do something like, oh, well, you know, this could get really ugly or I don't want to do this. But, like, for example, we had an argument last night and I didn't feel safe enough to be in the same bed with him, so I slept in our guest room and he came in and first of all tried to, you know, comfort me and snuggle me, and then when I didn't respond, he took all the covers off and then proceeded to take the bed off of the frame with me on it and then, like, follow me downstairs and, like, basically made it impossible for me to be anywhere except our bedroom, where he's like, well, you have to sleep in our bed because that's what we need to do as a married couple. And so I haven't talked with him about it, and I just wanted to have some clarity of what my approach should be, what generally is amazing. Like, he's an amazing provider. He's an amazing husband. We're both Christians. He loves God, but something just switches and he turns into this
mm-hmm.
Different person altogether. And so I just don't know what my response needs to be.
Yeah.
Well, Grace,
I'm so glad you called. And
yeah.
Jill, go ahead.
Grace, it sounds like his abandonment fears get really stirred up when you start to pull away and need just a little bit of time to yourself. And so then he starts over-pursuing. And can that be abusive? Yes, right? He's virtually, like, you know, giving you no space to mm-hmm. say, you know, I need a little bit, just a little bit time away to kind of sort through what I'm feeling. And so I think to be able to maybe verbalize that more, and after the fact, like, let's talk about what happened last night. What got set off in you that caused you to keep pursuing me? Right? And,
right.
and go ahead.
No, I just said right.
Oh, okay. right? And because, so you want to talk about kind of the dynamic or the process of how you guys interact. You know, I've noticed that whenever I try to just pull in a little bit to kind of reflect and need a little time for myself, that seems to really trigger you. What's going on for you
yeah.
in that? Right? Because
yeah.
right? Because he's not giving you any space. And to explain, you know, sometimes I need some time. Oh, just, you know, a little bit of time away from you to kind of reflect and see what's going on inside of me so I can come back and talk about it with you. And when you give me no room or space, I feel flooded, right? To let him know what's going on. And how do you feel in those moments? What's going on for you? Because you both, you want to have yeah. compassion and understanding, right?
Right.
Not this pursuer, you know, distancer type relationship.
Huh.
Right.
No, very good insight. We're going to come back. You can hear the music. We're going to come back. JJ, you can give your comment, and then we'll go to our next caller. You're listening to New Life Live.
Yes, you are.
With Jim, Jill, and JJ. And again, if there is something that we can help you with, it could be your marriage. It could be that you're struggling with a child. Maybe you have an adult child that's violating your values. Whatever that might be, you can always call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And we're here to help, and we love you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
We We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Welcome back to New Life Live. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Stephen Arterburn, who's on sabbatical, a well-deserved sabbatical. He'll be coming back pretty soon. We've got Dr. Jill Hubbard in the house. Jill.
Yes.
And we've also got J.J. West in Florida. J.J., any more thoughts on what Grace was talking about? She's dealing with, you know, how to even know if you have an unhealthy or an abusive relationship. And obviously, there's some issues going on there.
Yeah. So, Grace, first, thank you for your call. Second, I don't know that it's all that important which label we use. I think in this case, what you've described is both. There's some unhealthiness there, and there's some abusiveness there. It's not abusive in the same sense of someone beating you, but there is some abusive ways that your husband is responding. I agree with Jill that there's probably feelings of abandonment that he's experiencing when you pull away, when you set a boundary with him. But it needs to be very clear that the way he's responding to that is unacceptable. It is unacceptable for him to come into the room that you're in, pull the covers off of you, pull the bed off the frame that you're sleeping on, follow you through the house as you leave that room. All of those things are unacceptable. That is him being controlling. That's him being intimidating. That's him being unrelenting. These are not acceptable, healthy ways for him to express his emotion. Now, if he can own that, if in a conversation, a follow-up conversation with him, he can own what I did was wrong, that was unacceptable for me to scare you that way, that was unacceptable for me to kind of force my presence on you in that way. If he can own that, then there's plenty of room for him to learn how to express his emotions in a healthy way. But first and foremost, there needs to be a baseline understanding of what is safe and what's acceptable. And I want to be very clear on that you're not responsible for managing him and managing his emotions and putting up with any kind of behavior that is threatening or any kind of behavior that's controlling. So I just want to be clear on that. I'm glad that you're wanting to have a healthy relationship with your husband. I hope that he will own that, and I hope that he will be open to working on change. But it can't be at the, well, we're going to just work on our emotions and I can still behave in this intolerable way.
Mm-hmm. Great.
JJ,
great.
I'm really glad you brought that up, and especially coming from a guy, you're very clear on that.
That was very good.
That's absolutely right.
Great, great insight. Grace, I hope that's helpful to you, and I want to have us send you a book, How We Love, a wonderful book on marriage, and actually a book that you could read and be helped greatly, and also your husband, too. And I know sometimes guys don't read, but that could be really helpful. We're going to go on, and thanks again for your call. Maria, Miami Beach. We went from Palmer, Alaska to Miami Beach, Florida, and Maria listens on NRB. And Maria, how are you doing today, and what can we do for you?
Thank you so much for everything that you guys do. I'm just blessed. Let me just give you a few points of my situation like this, you guys have an idea. I have only one sister and the youngest of five. We have a few deaths in our family. My mom passed 2-3 years ago. My sister's husband passed last year. I grew up with a very abusive father, but I was the one, like, he always targeted. My sister was his favorite child, and my sister came to the United States to live, and I didn't see my sister for 15 years. Now we live kind of close. And I noticed that my sister always had the same pattern that my father used to have with me. Hmm. Always trying to put me down. When we have any argument, I'm the worst Christian on the planet. I even noticed on her comments that for me personally, it sounds like an envious person. She always making comment on my marriage. And even though I set boundaries many times, with her, it's like when we have an argument, we go to a square one again. Mm-hmm. The last conversation that we had was because I was trying to intercede with her daughter that she has, the only daughter that she has. And they were having a lot of problems, a lot of issues, because her daughter complains about her being abusive when she was little, and she having all these issues now. So I went to speak to her. My husband and I, we went to speak to her, and all hell broke loose. Because she brought our childhood, and basically she said that I was a bad child, that's why my father was the way that he was. And I just told her, I cannot believe that you're saying such a thing. So are you telling me that you're blaming a child?
Hey, Maria, you can hear the music. We've only got a few moments, but why don't you give us, right before the break, give us the question that you have for us, and then after the break, we'll come back and talk through it. But you got to be real quick. Give me a couple sentences here.
I'm one part of me is sad, and another is, like, I just want to
okay.
be at peace.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you. And we'll get back to you right after this break. Again, you're listening to New Life Live with, I'm Jim Burns with Dr. Jill Hubbard, JJ West. And don't forget, we've got a lot of great intensives coming up. One is tomorrow, and it's Emotional Freedom Intensive, and it's online. It's always a great way to do it. And we'll hope you'll join us, and I'll talk about some of the other intensives. They're life-changing. And don't hesitate to connect with us at New Life Live.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope, and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Stephen Arterburn. We're with Dr. Jill Hubbard, JJ West, and we've been talking to Maria in Miami, Florida. And Maria, as you were talking with us, it just sounds like you want to get some peace with your sister. You want to think through some boundaries, and I think you've got some great counselors here who can help you. So, Jill, why don't you take the lead and move on?
Well, Maria, such a difficult situation with family members, and especially when it seems like you're not just dealing with the present. It seems like your sister, from how you've described, keeps trying to re-engage you and draw you back into old family drama, and that perhaps she has a lot of things that are unresolved in terms of your past, and some resentments towards you. Now, likewise, you perhaps have some resentments towards her, but it sounds like she has a very strong personality and can become overly aggressive at times. So, but there's a lot of maybe making opinions about each other's lives. Perhaps you even trying to intervene with her daughter was a way of maybe not stating it verbally, but through your actions, making an opinion about her life. Overall, I just hear a lot of distrust between the two of you, which is so sad. You're sisters, and it's your only sister. What happens? Have you ever taken the time to say, okay, sister, it seems like we've got a lot of unresolved history, right? What can we talk about our resentments with each other? And can we just take turns and not react, right? This is difficult, right? Because the tendency is to want to just defend. But can I just hear you know, your resentments, and then can I share mine, right? Could we kind of take turns doing that? And let's get them out on the table, because this isn't the kind of relationship I want. And are you open to us trying to work through things? And you might need, you know, I've seen sisters before in therapy. You might need to go see someone or to have some sort of mediator that could kind of say, okay, it's your turn to talk. Okay, no, you stop. And now it's your turn to talk, right? Especially with people that can tend to really
I think you also lead out, Maria, with love. I really want a good relationship with you. And I'm so sorry that we're at this place. And, you know, what can I do? And then, like what Jill's saying is, you know, listening is the language of love. So you may have to take some hits there. It sounds like you're going to. But and probably not make it. I mean, I don't know how you do this in many ways, but you got to deal with it in terms of knowing she's got issues and she's putting some of those on you. And that's not fair.
Well, and it's you don't argue the facts.
Yeah, right.
Because nobody has the exact facts, even though you both think you know how it is.
Right.
It's each other's perspective from your viewpoint, right?
Yeah.
So you're each seeing it, and we know siblings grow up and can tell a completely different story of what the home life was like. And so, right? So you're not trying to argue who's right and what the facts are. This is what, this was my experience. What was your experience? Right? And allow each other to have a different experience.
Yeah, you're so right. JJ, you want to add something?
Yeah, you lead with love, and then you lean into empathy. So as she's sharing her perspective, you lean into empathy. I can understand how that would feel for you. I can understand how that might have been scary or painful or whatever the emotion is that she's expressing, right? You lean into empathy. The other thing that I would add is when we set boundaries, it's really important that we understand I'm setting the boundary for me. I can't fix, change, or control others.
So, good.
So I'm not setting a boundary for you to behave a certain way because I have no control over how you behave. I set the boundary for me, what I'm willing to let into my world and what I'm not willing to let into my world. And when I set a boundary like that, it's possible that you go to your sister and you lead with love and you say, I'm so sorry that we have this kind of relationship. I really want a healthier, more loving relationship with you. Can we do this? Blah, blah, blah. Right? All these things that we just talked about. And she might respond with, I'm totally fine with the way things are. I don't want to do any of that. I, you know, I'm totally fine with me being able to overpower you or whatever, right? She may respond that way, and if she does, and I hope she doesn't, but if she does, you recognize that the boundary I'm setting is for me to say I'm not willing to engage with you, or anyone for that matter, when you mistreat me, when you speak harshly to me, when you try to control me or judge me or whatever it is that she might be doing, right? So it's just keep that in mind that the boundary is for you, not for her.
JJ, would you expand on that a little bit in terms of the boundary? Because I think we get all confused. We want them to have boundaries, but we can only deal with us. Talk to us about that and talk to Maria about that in terms of how she can find safety in a relationship that doesn't feel very safe.
So I oftentimes will use the same example from Scripture because I think it's just so applicable. You know, Jesus, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He asks the question, what must I do to, you know, to be in the kingdom? And Jesus says, you know, you've got to follow all the commandments. I've done that from my youth. Okay, one thing you lack, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. And the rich young ruler walks away sorrowful because he had great wealth. Jesus doesn't chase him down and say, okay, how about half? How about three-fourths?
That's good.
He doesn't change the barrier, the boundary line. He lets the boundary line allow the rich young ruler to self-select out. My riches are more important to me than being in the kingdom. And so when someone doesn't abide by the boundary that you've set for yourself, you let them do that. And that's really hard. I can only imagine what Jesus was thinking and feeling as he watched the rich young ruler walk away, that he had to have felt sorrow. He had to have felt, you know, remorse for the choice that he was making, but he didn't change the boundary line. And so when I set a boundary in a relationship with someone, I set a boundary for myself, it's important that I recognize that person may say, you know what, I'm not willing to abide by that boundary. And that means that they're self-selecting out of either out of my life completely, or they're self-selecting out of a particular interaction where I'm no longer going to interact with you in this way, right? And so always the onus is on me when I set a boundary for how I'm choosing to behave and react in a situation. It's never on I'm making you behave a certain way, or I have an expectation of you to behave in one way or another, because I cannot fix, change, or control anyone else. Hopefully that answered the question, Jim.
Maria, how does that sound to you?
Well, I try my best. I always did. I just want to clarify the reason why I went to speak to her about the situation with my niece is because she asked me to. Because my niece and her couldn't even see each other. So I said, okay, let me just go and see what she says. I'm very respectful of my sister relationships. I only God knows that I have to bite my tongue many times. She is very aggressive. And the funny thing is that if you offended her in any way, shape, or form, trust me, you're going to feel it. But she can offend everybody.
Yeah.
And it's been like that since kind of quite a while now, you know. So what I do is just keep myself far away from her, because I just want to be at peace. I don't want to be in this back and forth. And we are no little children anymore. We are adults.
Right.
And it's tiresome sometimes, you know. I feel sorry for my husband because he feels sorry. He's like, wow, this is your only sister. And he realizes too, you know. I mean, she comes with things that you think like, really? In one occasion, my husband was speaking to me on the phone and she saw him. And she says, oh, so-and-so is controlling your life. Things like that that you think like, really? Seriously? That, what kind of comment is that?
Yeah.
He's my husband. Well, we are talking.
Yeah. Maria, especially when you have an older sibling and a younger sibling, especially if there's a significant age difference, sometimes we get locked into viewing that person at a certain age or in a certain arrangement. And, you know, especially because you said that she moved to the U.S. and you were apart from her for 15 years. And so she may, in some ways, view you very much like that little girl when she left, as opposed to the adult woman that you are now, right?
Yeah. Great insight. You hear the music going, Maria. I hope that's been helpful to you, Maria. I'd love to give you a book called Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and David Stoop. A great book, by the way, and it'll help you kind of think through just how you work on these boundaries and how you work on yourself. You can't change them, but you can kind of change you, and that's the important thing. If you'd like some change in your life, don't forget that there's the Emotional Freedom Intensive, which is online tomorrow. Every Man's Battle Intensive, April 13th. Restore is coming to Washington, D.C., July 12th through 14th. And Intimacy and Marriage, a great, great event, July 26th, also in Washington, D.C. And we're going to come back. We'll take another call, but we're so glad you're with us. And if you need any help at all, just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we're here for you, and we love you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back to New Life Live. I'm Jim Burns, filling in for Stephen Arterburn with Dr. Jill Hubbard and J.J. West. And we have Danielle in Omaha who listens to us on KJLT. Danielle, welcome, and what's on your mind today?
Hi. Well, I am really kind of not really, I'm not really calling for my husband. I'm calling for my husband, actually. Ugh. And he has an issue with letting go. And what I mean is, like, when something changes in his day and it just sets off the entire day. The next day it's okay, but for some reason, it's like it puts a burr underneath his saddle and he can't seem to let it go. And I just want to help him with that.
Great. Okay. Let's start with JJ. JJ, what do you have in mind there?
Okay, so Danielle, first, is this a historic issue for him or something recent?
It's been historic. I just don't know how else to explain. Yeah, it's a common occurrence if something just changes in his schedule, especially if it changes his schedule, it really puts him off balance.
I'm assuming that you've talked with him about this on more than one occasion, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So in those conversations, has he ever mentioned, like, when he was a child or an adolescent, if plans got disrupted, did that throw him off kilter? Did he get really dysregulated then as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And did he grow up in a stable or an unstable home life? Do you know?
From what it sounds like, his parents were very, what's the best way to put it? His life was really, really messy when he was little. Just very messy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But now his parents are stable, and I know he looked up to his dad a lot, but his mm-hmm. dad had, and Caesar did inherit it too, a big anger issue. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. well, Caesar has, I shouldn't really say his name, but he has gotten a better hold on it. Ever since he has gave his life to Christ, he has,
mm-hmm. sure.
There's been a definite change in that. And
Oftentimes what happens when we do come to know the Lord, there is this transformation that does happen where the trajectory of our life changes. Maybe that completely, downward slope gets leveled off. But coming to know the Lord doesn't automatically cure us of the trauma that we may have experienced, doesn't cure us of our bad habits, our unhealthy ways of responding to life, right? It doesn't just automatically make us whole, right? There's this sanctification process that has to follow. And it may be, and I don't know, obviously, your husband, so I can't say for certain, but it may be that when he experiences a disruption in his day, there's an echo back to his childhood where when things were so unstable and messy, as you put it, when things were messy, it felt unsafe. It didn't feel secure. I didn't feel like I knew what to expect. And it really gives me security and safety when I know what to expect and then what I expect happens, right? And so then when he gets something, a curveball is thrown at him, he gets really dysregulated. And what happens is he feels a sense of powerlessness. I can't control life. I can't control all the aspects of life. And when we feel powerless, one of the main things that we like to do is we like to power up, right? I feel powerless. I want to power up. And anger is a very powerful emotion. And so a lot of people, when they feel powerless, they power up with anger. And so what can happen is for him to, if he hasn't already, get into some work with a therapist who can help him identify what he is feeling when things get, when he gets thrown that curveball, and learn some healthy ways to express what he's feeling rather than just going to anger every time.
Well, that's great insight.
Yeah. So, JJ, I'm kind of on the same page with you, Danielle, mm-hmm. that this is a guy that, again, has erected kind of a system to give him a sense of security, but it's a false sense of security, right? If he, he's very perfectionistic, he's rigid, it's got to go exactly right, or it's spoiled, it's ruined, right? And it's kind of an all or nothing thinking, but it is that feeling of he's trying to control his world. And so when something goes wrong, I agree, he then becomes that little boy, right? And that's a horrible feeling for him. But the thing is, he probably erected this at a younger age, and he's never updated it, right? Because as JJ was saying, it hasn't felt safe. So instead of, like most adults, where we learn to be flexible and have a little resiliency, that he didn't ever incorporate that, and he's still sticking to an archaic way of running his life, and it's not really working. So I love the idea of him getting into therapy and working on some of these issues and talking about it.
And learning to self-soothe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, here we are talking to you, Danielle. When in many ways it would be so good for him to hear this broadcast. By the way, you can hear this on a podcast later and even maybe play it for him because this is not a just you or him. It's we.
Right. And let me just add one more thing. It's wonderful that his parents are stable now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But during those formative years, they were unstable.
Yeah, and it was messy.
And that's what Daniel got wired into him.
Right.
Yeah.
Danielle, I hope that's helpful to you. I'm actually going to throw a book at you that is a book I absolutely was helped by greatly. Henry Cloud, he wrote a book called Changes That Heal, and it's just a foundational book on some of the things we've been talking about, and I suggest you read it, and then I hope your husband will read it, or you know, you two read it together. You know, sometimes Kathy and I, Kathy will read me a book while we're driving. Sometimes I think she's preaching at me when she has this idea. But you know, it's really good, you know, to kind of do some things together because then we can kind of talk about it. And Danielle, I hope that helps. We're so glad you called, and we're so glad for all of you listeners who listen to New Life, who support New Life. We're so grateful for that. You're supporting life change, and that's a big, big deal. Again, if there's anything we can do to help you, it could be a book, it could be a counselor, a coach, it could be one of our many intensives, a recovery group, even the free advice that you get here on the program. Don't struggle alone. Call us and let us help you. We are here to do it. That's why we're here. That's why we get up in the morning. We want to help you be all that you can be with God's help. And nobody claims to do this thing perfectly, but again, we're so grateful for all who come to New Life, who listen to New Life. And, you know, so many times there's so many people who say, you know what, my life has transformed. You've been discipling me. Well, have you been a caller? No, I've never called in, but I listen to you all the time. And even the advice that that Jill, you just gave, and JJ, you just gave to Danielle, that's discipleship changing life choices that people can make, and we all need that. I mean, I was taking notes on both of you there. Well, it's come to the end of this program. We're so grateful, again, that you've been with us, and I want to give you a scripture, the scripture I wake up most mornings saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's an act of the will. I'm going to acknowledge that God created today, and I'm going to rejoice, and that's my choice. Great to be with you today on New Life Live.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing. And we're so glad that you're here.